Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Coming up on TMS, Clark Gack, yada yada.
The bulge is for members only.
Rick Steves, D's Nuts.
Viet Voet Vert.
In Freddy Business.
X-rays are for pupits.
Doing things with Frank Oz with Gidget and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
It would seem that a power much greater than mine has decided that mankind must live. I can only bow to that decision.
Now bear my Arctic blast.
It's fun to watch the young ones think they invented April Fool's Day hoaxes. And by fun, I mean unfathomably tedious. This is The Morning Stream.
I get to play that once a year, and sometimes I forget.
Wow. So, yeah, exactly. Some years, not at all. Yeah. I don't know today. If I've ever heard that. I'm sure I have, because I'm sure we used it 1 year for April Fool's Day.
Sure we used it the year he did it, and then I think I forgot I had it, and then the other day I went, oh, I have that. I should use that. Make a note, and I made a note, and then yet the show almost started without it anyway, because there's just a little detail, you know? You forget.
Yeah.
But thank you, Scott Fletcher, for your
timely. We've been fortunate, I think,
efforts.
To have a lot of years of TMS where April Fool's Day fell on a day that we weren't doing a show. Either it was a weekend,
yeah,
or it was before we started doing Fridays or something. But
yeah, those were the lucky times.
That's right, yes.
Although so far I haven't really felt bombarded by it. Maybe I'm not following the things I used to that would give me a lot of April Fool's business, but yeah. I haven't really seen anything.
No, Most things that I'm getting are, you know, you open your email and it's like ads from places you've bought stuff before. We're having a sale today. No fooling.
Yeah. Yeah. They like to, yes. They're backpacking on this thing, but not in a literal way. They're like saying, hey, we're not joking around with these prices.
Right.
Like, all right.
And it's really a problem that they caused themselves by buying into it when they did, right? When they probably did send out April Fool's Day jokes as part of the mailing list. Now it's like, okay, now we're not doing it.
Yeah. It's a bit of an obnoxious reality we live in.
It is.
However,
mine calls it Shithead's Christmas.
There you go.
April Fool's Day.
Here's what we should do. We should make it the only day of the year where we don't try to fool each other. Cause it feels like in the culture now, it's constantly, you're wondering whether a thing you're seeing is real or fake or in good faith or not. So let's have one day where, let's flip it. Let's flip the whole thing. Invert. Command I in Photoshop, okay?
April Unfool's Day.
Yeah. And then that day is just 100% correct. Everything has to be by law. We'll institute laws, pass them at the highest courts, and everybody has to adhere to the truth for one day, because the rest of the year we suck anyway. So let's just do the one good day, and then the rest of the year can be continue to be as fake as it is. That's how we do this.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I had the solution. It was just a matter of getting it out.
It's just a matter of time finding it.
Anyway, it's dumb. If you see any that are funny, Brian, you'll share them with me. But
absolutely. Yeah. And I know, you know, Blizzard does it well. I miss Taxicab reminded me about the Think Geek. April Fool's stuff was always really good.
Yeah.
And
they're gone, right? That's done.
Yeah. GameStop dragged their crap right into the ground. Basically, yeah. They took something nice and bought it for they gave somebody a lot less money for it than they deserved, and then they dragged it into the ground, much like they do with everything.
Yep. It's lame. It's lame what they did there. But anyway, we'll soldier on anyway without him. That's what we'll do.
Yes, that's
so,
right.
We got a show. It's a nice show today. Wendy's not here, though. I hate to inform everybody listening at home. We couldn't do her today because we have to cut today's slightly short. I have to go to the dentist. And
it's just a regular cleaning, right?
Yeah, it's a checkup and they're doing the... This is the time... This is the one yearly visit. So I do it twice a year for regular visits, every 6 months. And... Mm-hmm. This is the one where they do the full rotational freaking robot scan thing of my skull.
Yeah, okay. The x-rays, yeah.
Yeah. Well, they normally do just the regular x-rays where they just stick a thing in your mouth and hold the thing and say, don't move. But this is a stand inside of it, like almost like standing, I don't even know what to call this thing, MRI machine looking thing.
Yeah.
He always has the latest tech or whatever for dental stuff. So I'll stand in the middle of this thing. And it goes, root, root, yeet, root, root, root. It goes all around me, makes this cool sound.
Uh-huh.
And then makes these really cool, like, 3D scans of my jawline, my teeth, my everything.
Okay.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Mine, I've never... The only time I experienced that was when I had that 3D scan of me done at Denver Comic Con that I turned into a 3D print, and it gave me a big unit.
Oh, right. And you had the wiener.
Well, gave me a... Bigger.
Slightly. Barely bigger. Discernibly larger.
Is it just going around your head or is it doing your whole body?
No, it goes around your head, but it is about shoulder height.
Okay.
And it raises and lowers depending on your height. So you stand in it and it just
you don't need to put anything in your mouth or anything like.
No.
It just, no. Wow, that's weird.
It's just, who knows what it's doing to my cells, though.
Right, exactly. Well, the x-rays are always fun because, they put this lead-lined apron on you, which only covers your body, and then they're firing something at your head.
Yeah.
Now, is that thing so bad that you need to protect my body, but it's okay to shoot it at my head?
Yeah, it's fine for the soft tissue of your brain matter.
That's right, exactly.
To take the full blast of it. The x-rays they do now where I just lay there and they do them, they no longer do the full lead thing. They have some newer tech that just is like a, I don't know. I don't even know if it's x-ray technology anymore. It's something else maybe, some kind of infrared-y business. Infrared-y business.
Okay. Infreddy.
Infreddy. And so I haven't had to wear a lead vest in a while, but I'm not going to lie. Good. When I used to wear the lead vest, when they used to do that, I found it comforting, not because it was doing any kind of job, but because it was like a big, heavy blanket.
It's a weighted blanket. Yeah, exactly.
It was nice. It was like, oh, leave that on there, the whole procedure. Don't take it off.
Is there any reason they couldn't just give you a weighted blanket for the entire procedure, like when they're cleaning your teeth? Give me a weighted blanket.
Maybe it's because they're heavy and hard to store. I don't know. Maybe. Bring your own, maybe. I'd bring my own. I have one. I have a 20-pounder.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can bring
it. It's not a bad idea. I usually take a little fidget cube. I take my Spider-Man fidget cube because then I just, I play around with it in my hands and I'm completely unaware of everything. That's going to get edited out for Jamie.
He'll do that. He'll find that. He'll seek that out.
I play with the fidget cube in my hands and while the fidget cube is in my hands and I'm playing with the fidget cube, I don't think about what's going on thanks to the fidget cube.
Wait a minute. You've nicknamed your penis the fidget cube? I don't think I understand. Weird. Well, anyway.
Slightly bigger unit.
That's actually a good idea because what I do is like I'll have a little tissue with me or something because they've given it to me for I don't know what. This happens at the eye doctor. That's what I'm thinking
of. When
I'm at the eye doctor and they give you the shots or the drops.
Oh, yeah.
Then you're like dab, dab, dab. And then you're holding this tissue. Well, if it's like a really invasive, like stare into the back of my skull kind of eye exam, I tear that thing up. I just like.
Right. It turns into freaking origami in your hands.
Yeah. Right. It's the worst. There's like a little dust everywhere. And if it's that Chinese doctor I had who put his knee in my crotch the whole time. Oh, man. There's no getting away. Anyway, so I'll let everybody know how that goes. It's stupid. I wish I could have canceled it or moved it entirely, but it is what it is. I forgot I scheduled it, blah, blah, blah. Speaking of weighted blankets, I'm going to make a recommendation for my fellow artist friends out there. These days you can plop your butt down on a couch and get a lot of art done because of technology. Mm-hmm. And one of those techs for me is an iPad, 12.9-inch iPad Pro with a Pencil 2.0. And I will plop my butt down on that couch and I will get work done. I did last night's or finished up yesterday's Fred and Can that way, and which would go up sometime after my dental appointment. Anyway, sitting on the couch, and that's fine and everything. Kim's watching Gilmore Girls again, so that's on.
Wow, how many times is this?
This is like fourth for her, fourth maybe, I think. Full. She loves that show. She can't. It's like, I don't know what it's like for me. I'm trying to think my comparison would be like TNG or something where I could just watch a season and keep going, you know? Like, I think it's like that for her. But anyway, so that's happening, and I'm sitting there, and that's all fine. But I'm not the most comfortable person right now. I was feeling a little bit antsy. I don't know why. Just kind of like, oh, I got to get this done. I got other things on my mind. And then in walks, this is about 8 o'clock last night. In walks Carter's dog, Ripley, or as Van calls her, Rippy. So now I call her Rippy.
Rippy.
Because Rippy is cute. I think that is a Rippy. Way better name. So, and she farts occasionally. So Rippy. Anyway, so Rippy.
Rippy. Nice.
Rippy comes in the room. She's now, she's not full grown yet, even though I don't know how much bigger she can freaking get. My gosh. Like Weimaraners, I guess they keep growing like well into their second year. Mm-hmm. And she's not even through her first year yet. And she's a freaking enormous. She's growing out of her harness. Like she's just huge. But she's so sweet and warm and cuddly and affectionate. And she just wants to be with you and just loves people and will just stare at you to get your approval. She's just the sweetest dog. So sitting there drawing, feeling a little stressed, Rippy comes wandering in, climbs up on the couch and proceeds to just, and this isn't a very big couch. I'm already too big for her the way I'm sitting in it. It's like a love seat, you know, type thing. And the dog comes in and just pours herself into all the empty space that is left on the couch, just kind of, and then lays her big dumb head right here on my chest and just stares at me while I draw. I'm telling you right now, if there's a better way to spend your time, I don't know what it is. It was great.
I can't think of what it would be.
Yeah. A weighted dog is what you want, is what I'm saying.
Who needs a weighted blanket when you've got a weighted dog? Right. They actually generate heat.
They do. They leave a little hair and they stink sometimes, but it's the greatest feeling and thing in the world. And I mean, I got to say, like, if I look at the pandemic and, you know, things that brought me the most, like, I don't know what the word is, solace for the for that weird year, I think it was dogs. I think I got the most out of my dogs. And
that's cool.
I'm happy about that. Yeah. They affected me in positive ways. So thank you, dogs. Dogs are great.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Anyway, also, I think my theory is proving out that the bigger your dog, the more kind-hearted they are, because they don't have anything to prove. You get little yippy dogs,
yeah,
and they're just little shitheads.
We talked a little bit about that, and certainly not applying to every dog, but yeah, that is. It does feel like little dogs have a little bit of a Napoleon complex sometimes that makes them overcompensate for what they don't have with teeth and the barking and the.
Right.
And whatnot.
Because what else are they going to do? Right?
Right.
They're not going to fight.
That's all they've got.
That's all they have is their loud, annoying bark and little tiny teeth that aren't going to puncture anything. But still, they got what they got. And I don't blame them for trying to use what they've got. But the bigger they get, dogs like her or dogs like a Great Dane or something, they don't care. They're just like, oh, well, I'm just going to lay here. And, you know, they're happy. Mm-hmm. They're good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bigger is better.
I've got nothing to prove. You've got an empty lap. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I can't recommend it enough. All right. That's what I'm saying. Get yourself a
Tina dog. Watched a little, just like really briefly, Tina and I watched a little bit of, again, we're making our plans for Ireland. So we've got to lock a bunch of things down and we're just making sure we're happy with our itinerary. Cause you know, once we get into this, it's going to be really hard to stick and move and say, oh, we really want to do that now as part of our trip.
Sure.
And so it's like, all right, let's make sure that we're liking all the things we're seeing. So we started watching some Rick Steves travel, Rick Steves Europe. Now, Rick Steves is a travel aficionado, a travel guru.
Okay.
And he's put out back in, well, the ones he did for Ireland were back in 2003 or 2004. And it was basically travels through the northern part, the western part, and the southern part of Ireland.
Okay.
And then I think he also has one on Dublin, which is in the east. But for whatever reason, even though these were made in 2003, 2004, and we're seeing things in the background that people are carrying around and technology and cars that are like, okay, yeah, that does look like a 2003, 2004 car, maybe a early 2000s, late 90s, possibly.
Sure.
For whatever reason, him and his family seem like they were plucked out of 1989 and dropped into Ireland. He's like talking about the great potato famine of 1857 is, and he's like going on about,
I love it. I'm in love with
oppressive
it.
British rule and all that stuff. And
that's great.
Is it Rick Steves or is it just Rick Steve apostrophe S Europe?
Rick Steve. Oh, anyway. That's a great name, man.
Rick Steve. Yes.
Oh,
Rick
that's
Steve.
So cool. I love
but
that
he's,
name.
It's funny because he wears like what looks like members gray or brown members only jackets. And it's the kind where when it's sitting on you and you have the very bottom of it zipped, but no other part of it zipped, it creates this weird pear shaped bulge at the bottom. Your body may not be in there. Okay. It really is Rick Steves with an S. Your body might not be filling that bulge, but the members only jacket creates that bulge. And yeah. He looks like a, like Dilbert or, like some sort of comic strip character. Like you're around like, okay, now we're going to look at, the the farms where the monks lived. Oh man, it's great stuff.
No, that's great.
Yeah, we're having so much fun watching this.
I love that.
You watch him and he's like really engaged with whoever the tour guide is that he's talking to, and he's doing a little bit of narration over the tour guide talking about what they're experiencing. And then you look over at his kids and his kids are like, you know, like dead-eyed, like, yeah. Oh my God, every trip is like this.
Oh, there he is. I just wanted to get a visual here. I've got Rick Steve now. I now know who this is.
Jedi 71. Rick Steves did not sing Disco Duck. That was Rick D's.
Rick
Come on.
D's. Come on, you guys. Get your DJ business straight. Come on. Yeah, there he is. Born Richard John Steves Jr., 1955, still rocking.
But anyway, it's still. he's got this weird, like, yeah, okay, now we're gonna go. You know, I do love it. I do love watching this stuff. And we have altered a couple things. Like he was saying, Galway may not have a lot of the sights, but it's a really nice place to. It's like, oh, that's all I need to hear. Okay, so Galway, we're staying, but we're not gonna like.
You're not gonna live.
We're gonna plant some stuff outside of Galway now.
Sure.
Galway.
So you found your ASMR is what you're saying. That's what your ASMR is, Rick Steves.
Yes, exactly. He's not the dog on my lap with the weighted dog while I draw. But there is something kind of calming about listening to Rick Steves talk about. Look at that. So it's not just, you know, not just a series that he did specifically about Europe. He apparently is the Europe.
Oh yeah.
He's America's leading authority on European travel, according to the website ricksteves.com.
Yeah, and his Wikipedia page goes on for miles about Europe, everything Europe. So he's all over the place. My guess is that
apparently while his kids were looking dead-eyed at the camera, you know, they were thinking about how to fix his Wikipedia page for him.
Yeah, robots. Well, that's fantastic. Yes, he is American, everybody. He's
from Seattle.
From here, but boy, howdy, does he like Europe.
He does like Europe.
I was going to say one. Just a quick contrast because you reminded me of it. Big dog laying on you while you draw. Great. No problem. Mm-hmm. Rainer laying on me while she draws. Kind of a problem because she does this thing where she thinks she should be getting my attention. So she'll put her whole head and neck over the drawing space and stare at me. Like this.
Yeah.
So I can't draw it when she does that. She does it with when I play the Switch, she'll do the same thing, sit in my lap and then eventually crank her head over so that her whole head is covering my freaking island on Animal Crossing or whatever it is I'm playing at the time. So knock it off, weird, smaller, bat-like dog. All right, Brian, we're going to play digital thing, or digital trivial things, not digital
trivial things with digital gidget.
Digital Digit is her name.
Digit Von LaRue.
Wait till you see my digit. All right. Let's see. We're going to add her to the call. This is what we do once a month on the show, usually the end of the month. But this week we are doing it at the very beginning of this brand new fresh month. And it starts with this.
Trivial things.
Welcome to the show, Gidget Von LaRue. Hello, Gidget.
How are you?
Hi, good. How are
good.
You?
Good. How are you?
I am great.
That's
great.
Fantastic.
I've missed you.
Hey, look at it's
We've
what?
Missed you too, yeah.
3 o'clock in the morning. What is it right now? What time?
3:25 a.m.
2:25.
Jeez.
2:25 a.m. Yeah.
Because we changed our clocks and it changed stuff saving, around. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. All right.
Yeah.
Well, wow. Do you all, okay. So we never asked you this before. Do you normally just stay up that late every night so that this is just no big deal for you? Or is this actually a thing you got to like prep yourself for?
Yeah, no. I stay up because I don't have a job. So I sleep during the day and I party all night.
Wow. That's fantastic.
So this is, I'll be up for another 2 hours after this.
Wow.
That's intense.
And speaking about that, actually, I stay up long enough to then watch all the tadpoles comments on your video. So I'm going to start off by what they all said last time.
Oh, lovely. Let's hear it. I haven't tracked any of that. So let's hear what they had to say.
Okay. Right. Hi, Tadpool. Okay. So this was the feedback from the last time that I was on. All right. And it's all just the positive stuff because the nasty stuff I just left off. Right.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So Clark Gack said, go Gidget, go. And also, longer Gidget, please.
Did you say Clark Gack?
I think you mean Claire Gack.
Yeah, Claire Gack.
Clark. Yada, yada. Okay.
2:30 in the morning, eyes don't work so good.
Right.
I don't need glasses.
No.
All right, PZZSX said, I like this segment. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Miravinia said, oh, yeah. Rishi B, g'day, dude. He said, the Australian-Utah-Colorado mix-up.
Yeah.
JK Grammer said, Gidget looks great and her personality makes her even more awesome. Well, JK Grammer... Mwah.
He's a very positive human being in this community.
What a suck up.
Yeah.
Okay. Sovereign Bohemian said, Gidge, I have to get it out of my system. The Colonel is a lucky guy.
Oh, the Colonel. The Colonel's got his special recipe for happiness.
He's just gone to bed. Yeah. Okay. TV's Egon. Dirty talk me if you want. It's fine. I'm on Twitter. Okay. TV's Egon, meat pies and wine with Gidget. Uh-huh. Squishy Witchy said, I like Gidget's jean jacket. Sorry, not wearing it tonight.
Yeah.
Zoe brings bacon, who I met in Vegas. Hey, sweetie. She said, thank you, Gidget, for your quiz. Kagee also said, oh, so 2 hours of Gidget this time instead of one. Hilarious.
Sarcastic. All right, well, that's all the time we have.
Exactly. Nutska said, oh, cool, I love me some Gidget. Miravina said, she is so pretty. Oh, that's sweet. Yeah. PZX said again, I love this segment. Miravina responded again, so she's been up all night or did she get up early to look that good? Well, we've solved that problem. I stay up all night.
Yeah.
And Sovereign Bohemian said, hi, Gidget, so I'd like to say hi to you too.
Yeah, I like that there are like five Miravina quotes on there. That's fantastic.
That's right.
Yeah.
If you would like a transcript of today's show, don't worry, Gidget will have one done for you tomorrow.
Next month, trust me, if you leave comments, I will read them out for you on this podcast.
Yeah.
So,
the hot also,
believe me, there's nothing I like better when I go to a movie and it begins with 5 minutes of the movie telling me what other people thought of the movie.
Yeah. Are you smart ass, Brian?
Yes, sir.
You're going to get the hard questions now. Oh. I'm changing them over.
I like that you can flip that on a whim. All right, I don't even know
She's ready for me.
What is our? Yeah. I don't even know what our topic is this week. This month. I feel like you told us and then I spaced it. What are we doing?
You're going to really enjoy this, both of you, but I know especially Scott. Okay, so I'm breaking away from movies, and this entire quiz is on board games. So Scott is going first on Monopoly.
Oh, geez, Louise. Okay. I'm going first on Monopoly.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What's my question?
No, I'm kidding.
Oh.
Pulling your leg. Brian told me you hate Monopoly.
I do hate Monopoly. I do. I could probably answer some questions about it, but I do hate it. I freaking hate it. I love Monopoly.
I couldn't think of a movie you hate. What is a movie you hate? Because I was trying to think of a movie that isn't just like, oh yeah, the, on film oh, sack, really I hated dislike. That. But is there a movie you actually like absolutely hated?
Well, I've walked out of one movie before, and it was A Fine Mess with Ted Danson and Howie Mandel.
I wish I would have remembered that. I could have told. Yeah,
that would have been really. Yeah. That would have been pretty
funny. Questions about A Fine Mess. Yeah.
I really.
So,
what
is everyone's most hated movie? Because someone asked that on Twitter earlier, and you know, people were saying sort of mainstream movies. I mean, look, you know, for big budget, Jack and Jill's bloody awful, but it's still, and I know it's become a cult favorite, and people love to hate the movie, but if you just sit down as like a cinephile and watch The Room with Tommy Wiseau, that has to be the worst movie made of all time, because
horrible.
It's not like it was made on a budget.
Right. It's horrible, but
they spent millions on it.
Right. But it's great, but it's bad, but it's great. Like it's the worst.
That's what I mean. It's one of those hard things to say. You could pick just a Trolls 2 and just go, that's just a terrible movie.
Right,
but at least it had a story and it was filmed well. And the acting's kind of bad, but it's not as bad as The Room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, The Room is so bad, and I had to, like, put that down. So, anyway, send in your list of your worst movies you've ever seen, and I'll read them out next time.
All right.
But it's Comedy Films Quiz.
Ooh,
comedies. Oh, good.
Okay.
Yay.
Maybe we'll ask about my least favorite film of all time, The Beverly Hillbillies.
Oh, yeah, that's a comedy of sorts.
Yeah,
hey,
that's not a good movie.
No, it's fine. It really it is. I like that movie.
It's no Jack and Jill.
See, the reason I hate that more than Johnny Mnemonic, which I walked out of, the reason I hate Beverly Hillbillies more is because I didn't walk out of it.
You stayed the whole time.
I stayed the whole stupid time.
Dabney Coleman, Cloris Leachman, freaking Jim Varney. It's great.
Yeah,
it's
all great. Have done much, much better things.
I'd like that movie. Scrooge. Oh, I don't like Scrooge.
But it is one of those things that people say, you know, dying is easy, comedy is hard.
Yeah, that's true.
So everyone's got very, very different. Someone's doing a comedy, the greatest comedy poll on Twitter at the moment, and some of the movies that they're putting in the options, I wouldn't even consider a comedy.
Well, keep in mind,
you know,
I don't...
a comedy is something that you laugh at pretty much all the way
right,
through.
Right, but here's the important distinction with my like of that film. I don't think the Beverly Hillbillies movie is funny, per se. I think that it does a great job of being a modern film version of what makes the Beverly Hillbillies the Beverly Hillbillies. And none of that includes that it's that funny, because I don't think it's very funny. It's all pretty stupid and on the nose.
You know who did it exactly right for that sort of thing, taking a TV show and turning it into a movie? First of all, the Brady Bunch movie nailed it, because it was self-aware. The other one was 21 Jump Street.
Oh, yeah, that was
all
right.
That did it really well. And, and actually, Michael Mann did a good job with Miami Vice.
Oh, I liked Miami Vice.
Yeah, Miami Vice was good. We watched
a lot of people hate that.
So it depends on what the style of the show was. But if you're going to do like the sort of Brady Bunch type of TV show, which is so corny, but I loved it when I was watching it, you do it like that. And they absolutely nailed it, I think, with that. But anyway, So Scott won the first one for this year. Brian won the second one. So it's Scott going first.
All right. And these are of any era or just a specific era of comedy?
Any era.
Okay.
I'm breaking out. I am breaking out. Yep. I've gone rebellious.
Shedding the bonds that kept her in the 80s. And all right. Breaking that glass ceiling of 80s films.
Sounds good.
I am. I feel special.
Right.
Okay. All right, Scott. So number one, in the movie City Slickers, what did Mitch, played by Billy Crystal, name the calf he helped deliver? Was it A, Barry, B, Mooey, C, Norman, or D, Sir Farts-a-Lot? have you hidden the tadpole?
Yeah, I don't have them in front of me.
I have not hidden the tadpole.
I'll be reading you guys later. Don't you worry.
I mean, you don't have to hide them. You can have them up because you already know the answer.
Yeah, I've got them up. That's fine.
All right.
Yeah, no, I'm saying I'm hiding them.
They're too far away. They're on another screen.
Plus, we don't want Gidget to get distracted and turn this into a three-hour segment.
Yeah, we don't want that. So let's do...
Oh, Brian, you're right.
We're going to do... I'm going to say I have an answer. My answer is...
Wendy's not even on today. So what's the matter?
Here's mine. This is the one I'm going to say.
Barry.
The dentist.
It's Barry.
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 Is it Barry?
No.
Damn
okay,
it!
Brian.
Norman.
No, I don't remember this. That movie. I love that movie. I don't remember any of it.
Yeah.
But also,
I love that movie. I don't remember any of it. You must have loved it.
I've probably seen it twice, once in the theater, once on VHS or something. And then that's it. It's been a long time, but I liked it when I saw it.
Movies. I saw it at the cinema and I didn't actually like it the first time. And it was only when it came out on home entertainment, rewatching it, I really enjoyed it. And I find that with a lot of movies, especially Quentin Tarantino movies, don't really like them the first time I see them. And then next time I watch them, absolutely love them.
Nice. So. Okay.
Who was his wife in that? Was it Nancy Travis or Bonnie Hunt or who
probably
was it?
Bonnie
was,
Hunt.
Wasn't Bonnie Hunt. It was the woman that. Never mind. Move on.
Yeah, let's not get on this tangent. All right.
Yeah, let's not go there. Okay, Brian.
Yes.
All right. So, number two, in the film The Other Guys, what car does Detective Alan Gator Gamble drive that homeless people like having orgies in? Is it an A, a Hyundai Longing Hybrid? Is it a B, a Toyota Prius? Is it C, a Nissan Leaf? Or is it D, a Hummer SUV?
All right. So this is the Will Ferrell.
Marky Mark thing.
Yeah, right. He's the hilarious. Sensible guy. So it is an electric car. So I know it's one of the first three. I think it's... I'm going to say it's the Prius.
You are right. Homeless people love having sex in the Prius.
That makes sense because it's more of that would be the stereotype name, right?
That is exactly. You know, you wouldn't get the comedy effect of the Nissan Leaf or the Hyundai.
Right.
At least Versa or whatever
yeah.
it was.
Yeah. It's the mainstream hippie car.
You think of the hippie car, you think of that car. Okay.
Right.
Yep.
All right.
Okay. Well done, all right, Brian. Scott. So who plays Mrs. White in the 1985 comedy film Clue? Is it A, Madeleine Kahn, B, Elaine Brennan, C, Leslie Ann Warren, or D, Tim Curry?
I like Clue, but I don't love Clue like some people do.
I prefer Murder by Death, but I like both of them.
I like Murder by Death a lot.
Murder by Death is so good.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
That was good.
Wonderful.
Peter Falk.
I like her. I really like her.
I'm going to say Madeleine Kahn, I think. The Madeleine Kahn? Please tell me it's her.
Yes. It is.
Okay, good. I remember Leslie Ann Warren was Miss Scarlet, but I was gonna guess Eileen Brennan if it came to me. So I'm glad it didn't come to me.
Yeah.
I'm kind of sad it didn't now.
And I think Eileen Brennan was Mrs. Peacock.
Peacock, okay, yeah. Right. See, those
Tim Curry was the waiter butler.
Well, yeah.
We figured that he was not on this list.
Yep. Oh, and hi, Sovereign Bohemian. If you listen, hi. Extra shout out. Because you said I was pretty. Okay.
Hi, Clark.
All right,
hi, Clark
Brian.
Gack. Clark Gack.
Okay. All right, Brian, number four. Yeah. Who directed the 1988 film Dirty Rotten Scoundrels? Was it A, Ron Howard, B, Frank Oz, C, John Landis, or D, Woody Allen?
Oh, okay. I'm taking two off the board immediately. I'm not going to say which ones. It's between.
This one's easy.
Was it Frank Oz?
Shit.
Yes.
Okay, good. Yeah, I was thinking it was Frank Oz or John Landis. I knew it wasn't Ron Howard. I definitely knew it wasn't Woody Allen, but...
It's burned into my brain because I remember when I heard about it, I went, what? No way. Freaking
Yoda directed a movie?
Yeah, Yoda made his own movie. What? And I never forgot.
Yoda's made heaps of movies. Yoda's made one of my favorite Eddie Murphy movies and Steve Martin movies of all time, Bowfinger.
Bowfinger's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
He also directed the British...
Yeah.
Oh, it's so underrated. That is a hilarious movie. And the original Death at a Funeral, the British one.
Yes.
That is hysterical. Frank Oz is very, very good at directing... actors.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he directed Little Shop of Horrors.
He's good at directing puppets too.
Yeah. He does good puppets.
Miss Piggy. Yeah.
He also did that.
I'm a huge fan of Frank Oz. He retweeted me once and I'm his. If he knocks on my front door, I am doing things to him that's farm animals wouldn't do.
So all right. let me tell you this, though. He directed that thing Wendy had us all watch.
You're from Australia, so farm animals are pretty loosey-goosey down there, so that's saying a lot.
But didn't he directed that thing Wendy made us watch? Not made us watch, had us watch.
Oh, right. The In and of Itself.
Yeah, he directed that, which is cool.
Inside Out.
Yeah, he did that. No, not Inside Out. In and of Itself. No,
In and of Itself.
It's a Hulu thing. I don't know if they have it down under.
Did he produce it or direct it?
He directed it.
I don't remember him directing it.
Yeah, he directed it. He's got a big old fat directed by on it. And I remember thinking.
Oh, and Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Yeah. Wait, didn't we talk about that?
Yeah, that's kind of where we started.
Yeah, I think that's where we started.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That too. Hang on.
Yep, have another. I think I might join you.
Yeah. You're just jealous it's the morning for you guys.
I know, I can't drink for another 2 hours here. Yeah. So
you can drink whenever you want because it's nighttime here, and if you lived in Australia, you'd be drinking, so you can drink whenever you want.
I just need to call it a Bloody Mary.
Yeah. You can call it whatever you want. Just don't say it three times. Okay.
All right, Scotty.
Yeah.
All right, number five. What is the name of Navin R. Johnson's dog in the hilarious 1979 film The Jerk? Is it A, Poop Bum, B, Dipshit, C, Dog, or D, Shithead?
It's a Shithead. D, Shithead.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Shithead's Christmas.
Yeah.
Shithead's Christmas.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate April Fool's. You know what I hate most of these things? Valentine's Day, all that crap.
Yeah, the holidays are the worst, right? They're the worst.
Oh, I hate them. Every day should be a holiday.
Yeah.
Every day should be fun.
I agree.
Brian.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Number six, on the poster for the 1992 film Wayne's World, what is the blurb? Is it you'll laugh, you'll cry? A, you'll party hard. You'll laugh, you'll cry. You'll rock out with Queen. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll hurl. Or you'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll buy a Stratocaster.
You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll hurl. Oh!
Yep. If you're going to skew into this.
Yeah. Brian? Okay, Scott. All right, number seven, in the 1984 parody film Top Secret, where does Nick Rivers, played by Val Kilmer, travel to perform at a cultural festival?
Oh, my gosh.
Is it A, West Germany, B, Russia, C, Sweden, or D, East Germany?
For some reason, I remember a lot of sheep and stuff, and there was like a windmill. And the closest to that is like Sweden. So I think Sweden. It's a long time since I've seen this. Sweden.
Okay, Brian.
Damn it.
I know a little German. He's sitting over there.
Oh, shit.
I think it's East Germany.
Frick.
It is.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah, it's been so long. I forgot
remember
all about
the East German Olympic team, and it was all just these huge blokes. The female Olympic team.
Right, yes.
Man, I screwed that up.
That is a funny movie.
Defy gravity, yes.
Yeah. That's equal to me for American's Airplane for us flying high, but it's the same guys that made them, mm-hmm. and
the
I think
brothers,
they're just... I got into a debate the other night on Twitter about it, but this is just as funny, I think. Okay, Brian.
I hold that movie in very high regard.
I like it too.
So do I. I think it'd be a very hard movie to podcast because there's too many sight gags. And
Wouldn't
that's why we've avoided. Sack, we've avoided. Oh, did you?
No, we wouldn't do it for film. It wouldn't work for film.
No,
sack,
no, exactly. We've avoided that term. We've avoided Airplane as well.
Did we do Airplane? I think we did.
You'd just be acting out the scenes rather than actually probably talking about the movie because they're so funny. So
no, but we could do Airplane 2 because of the Shatner element, and Airplane 2 was not as funny as Airplane 1 and could be
funny. Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, there's very few comedy sequels that are funnier than the first one.
That's true, yeah.
Maybe Fletch.
Fletch is better than the second one.
Fletch Lives.
Fletch Lives is terrible. Hold on. Fletch Lives is garbage. That's a terrible sequel. Are we all saying?
No, is it Fletch?
All right.
Fletch Lives or Fletch 2?
I'm trying to think.
Fletch Lives.
Were there three Fletch movies?
Yeah, there are two, and the second one is bad. It's bad. I can't be alone in this.
If you went through all of them, like Beverly Hills Cop, Lightning in a Bottle, the second one, not as funny.
Yeah.
Hangover was really funny. Hangover 2, bloody awful.
Oh, no, but Hangover 3 did kind of bring it back, I think.
You reckon?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh,
it's funnier than 2. I'll say that. You know what? Maybe it's not as funny as 1, but it's funnier than 2.
And Anchorman, I think is really funny. Anchorman 2, I didn't even get through all of it. I was just like, this is just rubbish.
I've never seen an Anchorman movie. Oh, Ghostbusters 2 is a good example of garbage poop. We did that. Yes. I'm looking at it right here on our Film Sack page.
It's not, look, it's not god awful, but it's just, it's really hard when you've got like a really, you know, so as I said, lightning in a bottle comedy film to then try and do a sequel. And they try and do all the same things from the first one.
That's the problem. The urge is to redo all the jokes from the first one. Were there, how many Naked Gun? Were there 3 Naked Gun movies?
Naked Gun 1 and 2 weren't too bad.
Yeah.
So
that's what I'm remembering is that, because they, again, Zucker Brothers, right? They kind of had that humor all the way through. All right. Yeah. Well, let's move on.
Okay.
Let's move on.
All right, Brian. All right. So you got that last one. It's Germany. All right, Brian, in John Landis's musical comedy film, The Blues Brothers, 1980, what R&B singer was not in the film?
This is
perfect for you because it's music.
Yeah.
All right. A, James Brown. B, Rick James. C, Aretha Franklin. And D, John Lee Hooker.
Rick James was not, to my knowledge, in The Blues Brothers.
Rick James, bitch. Correct.
I'm glad you got that one. I would never have gotten
it. All right, Scott.
Yeah.
Scott, in number 9, in the Farrelly Brothers film, There's Something About Mary, Ted, Ben Stiller, discovers 13 years after his zipper accident, Mary is a what? A, a colon surgeon in Georgia. B, an oncology surgeon in Texas. C, an oral surgeon in South Carolina. Or D, an orthopedic surgeon in Florida.
I don't know any of this.
You haven't seen the movie?
I have, but it's just ages.
But once. But
yeah, I saw it like twice maybe. I like the fair. I've seen Kingpin more often than I've seen this. Yeah. I love
Kingpin. Oh, my God, yes. Kingpin is so far superior to There's Something About Mary. I totally agree with you on that.
It's the best Farrelly movie.
Yep, heaps funnier.
Yeah, they never.
And I don't like Ben Stiller, so that doesn't help.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
I'm going to go with, I don't know, I'll just guess. Florida, probably, because Florida's funny. I don't know. I have no idea. Florida.
Florida man. Yeah, you are correct.
Really?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I remember Florida. I did not remember what she did for a living, but her roommate is absolutely Florida.
She's an orthopedic, a raisin.
Lynn Shay with the droopy bit. I met her when I worked at 20th Century Fox at Moore Park. She actually came in for an interview and I met her, and she is the loveliest woman you'd ever meet in your entire life. So that's the only bit I particularly like about that movie. Mm. Okay. So B, Brian. Well done, Scott.
Thanks.
All right, number 10. In the film The 40-Year-Old Virgin, Andy, Steve Carell, works at Smart Tech. What singer is his boss, Paula, Jane Lynch, obsessed with? Is it A, David Bowie, B, Michael McDonald, C, Brian Adams, or D, George Michael?
I don't remember this, but out of those four, the most comedic would be Michael McDonald. So I'm going to say Michael McDonald.
You are correct.
Oh, man.
I love Michael McDonald.
Oh, sure. But
I'm so hurt.
Michael McDonald is way funnier than saying George Michael.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
Because that's too cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was hoping you were going to say Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah. boy, that really puts an age on that film, doesn't it? A little bit when you say
that. Yeah, it really does.
Yeah, weird.
No, it does. And I still love Michael McDonald. No, I like the Doobie Brothers.
No. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the Kelly Clarkson thing when he's getting shaved.
Uttering Kelly Clarkson. Yeah.
Yeah. When he's getting his body shaved or getting the waxing done and he yells Kelly Clarkson.
Oh, yeah. Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of which, Scott, when are we going to watch From Justin to Kelly on Film Sack? Include me on that one.
I haven't seen it.
What's the first part of the title of that movie? It's not American Idol. It's something from Justin to Kelly.
I don't remember. It's not.
You can look at the tadpole. Someone will know.
What we can't look in there though. What's the tadpole. What's the
I'll look.
What's the was it? It's not a documentary. It's like a thing, right?
No, it's a. It was like their attempt at making a new beach blanket bingo kind of.
Really?
Yes, with Justin Guarini and Kelly Clarkson.
Hang on, I've got to read this out. Quantum Feline said, this is from the movie, if I hear Yamo be there one more time, I'm going to Yamo burn this place to the ground.
that's from 40 old version, yeah.
It is, yeah. Hilarious. Well done. That's very funny.
Anyway, okay, let's
do it. Doesn't matter. Yeah, move on.
Okay, all right, number 11, sec. Scott?
Yeah, 11. 11.
Yep, 11.
Yeah.
So... So fussy. What pub do Sean, played by Simon Pegg, and Ed, played by Nick Frost, is their regular, and they end up in the 2004 comedy zombie drama Shaun of the Dead? Is it A, the Winchester, B, the Mayflower, C, the Stackpole Inn, or D, the Slaughtered Lamb?
It's been so long, dude. I love that movie, but I don't remember this.
Total. People are going too easy, but, you know. Mm-hmm.
I'll guess here and just say the Slaughtered Lamb. I don't know.
Slaughtered Lamb was American Werewolf in London. So, Brian?
Was it the Winchester?
It was.
Because there was a Winchester above the door that they used on the zombies, right? Isn't that how I remember that?
Yeah. I almost said that, too.
And he grabs the Winchester off the wall to...
Oh, and it doesn't
and it turns
work.
Out it doesn't it? Work. Yeah. Right. Don't stop me now.
Yeah.
I haven't had a good time.
The best scene. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome film. All right, Brian. Mm-hmm. Killing this, mate. Okay, number 12. In Mel Brooks' 1974 classic comedy Blazing Saddles, what motley crew are not lining up to join Hedley Lamarr's recruits or his Hedley. Army of thugs? That's Hedley. Okay. A, a motorcycle gangsters. B, the Ku Klux Klan. C, Nazis. Or D, skinheads.
Oh, geez. Because I can visualize all four of them. I don't think there were skinheads.
You are correct.
Damn it! Got it.
Damn it!
I knew that one. I'm getting burned. I know all the ones.
Someone
Brian's
needs to
say.
Do a vocal video of just Scott from Quiz Time just saying, damn it.
Damn it!
Just 15 minutes of. Damn it!
You should play basketball with me. You should hear me. Because when I, if I take a, any game I'm playing, when I used to play a lot of basketball, if I take a shot and it misses, it just rings out of the rim. I go, damn it, Scott! Like that. I yell at myself.
Damn it! Are you tall enough?
ESPN behind the mic with Scott Johnson, where they, you know, mic or mic'd up, whatever they call it, where they have a mic and one of the players' helmets. And,
it's basically how I play video games that are scary. It's the same thing. I have to vocalize everything. I don't know why. It's annoying.
I can't even watch Colonel play scary games.
Yeah.
Like I really? That chair behind there. Yeah. I sit there. That's my edit chair, and he sits here and does the editing because he's much better at editing than me. And I sit there just bossing him around. And if he's playing like a scary game, I'm just like, dude, go and hide in a cupboard and stay there. And he's like, that's not the idea of the game. And I'm like, yeah, but that's what I would do. Just go to a cupboard
and stay
there. Wait
for the police to arrive.
Yeah.
Call 911 for God's sake. This is horrific.
Doesn't pay off.
So, yeah, I'm not a horror game player. Mm. Okay, Scott.
Yeah.
Your turn now. Yeah. You're not doing very well, are you?
It's terrible today.
No.
Because you gave me the question Scott wanted because I razzed you earlier, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
No, actually, I already had your initials next to the quiz. Right. Yeah. Okay. All right. So number 13, in Rob Reiner's directorial debut with 1984's rockumentary This Is Spinal Tap. This is the only one that stuffed Colonel up, by the way.
Okay. Oh, really? Okay.
How did the band's first drummer die? A, he choked on someone else's vomit.
Okay.
B, exploded on stage. C, was crushed by Stonehenge. Or D, a bizarre gardening accident.
Gosh, my memory's so fuzzy on this. The funniest one is the first one. So I think they'd go for that. He choked on someone else's vomit. Because at the time, it was like all the rage to have a lead singer of a band die from choking on his own
choking
barf.
On his own vomit, yeah.
So I'm going to say that.
Brian?
Damn it!
It's funny because with the exception of Stonehenge, all three were ways that the drummers died.
Correct. Yeah.
And I think the bizarre gardening accident was the first one.
That is correct. Okay. Well done.
The other one exploded on stage and left a little globule on his
in the corner of his mouth. Yeah. But yeah, they all, apart from Crushed by Stonehenge, all of them were real ways that their drummers died. Right, and it was just putting them in order, and that's
in the right order. And I think I'm glad Scott did take that one off the table, because I might have gone with that one. One of them was Ed Begley Jr., and I think it was the Bizarre Guardian.
Ed Begley Jr. was in the black and white clip playing the drums, and he was the one that, you know.
The guardian accident.
And most of that's ad-lib, that movie. So it's amazing. That's it's amazingly hilarious. I can't believe when it's up against something like, you know, The Breakfast Club, and people go, The Breakfast Club, a better comedy. And it's like, is there something wrong with your brain?
Well, if you call it a better comedy, I wouldn't say that. I'd say Breakfast Club.
No, it's a
better movie.
I don't even know if I call it a better movie. It's just such a different movie.
I'm glad
they both exist.
It's a different movie. Yeah.
I like The Breakfast Club a lot, but for a flat out comedy, Spinal Tap kills it.
If that's not on the list I sent you, it needs to be.
Yeah.
Okay, Scott, 14.
yeah, I'm ready.
All right. Now, we've all been to Vegas. What Vegas hotel do the guys from The Hangover check into? Is it A, the MGM Grand, B, Caesar's Palace, C, the Bellagio, or D, the Luxor Hotel and Casino?
What movies has Scott never seen? Is it A, The Hangover, B, The Hangover 2, or C, The Hangover 3, or B, D, all of the above? I've never seen a Hangover movie. Not one. Oh. So I'm going to say...
You're kind of missing out on the first one.
The rest of them, just watch the first one. The first one is hysterical.
I'm just going to say MGM Grand, because that's where Brian always goes.
Okay, Brian?
Shit!
Did Caesar live here?
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
See, I don't know.
Was this actually Caesar's Palace?
I haven't seen it.
No.
I haven't seen it.
All right. Yeah, Brian.
Yeah.
Okay. So I did a tiebreaker, but to be honest with you,
not going to need it today, are we?
Not going to need it. No. Let's do it anyway. Let's do it anyway.
All right.
Okay. Tiebreaker, even though Brian's won this by miles. All right. 15 tiebreaker. First in. Just answer the question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. In Monty Python's The Meaning of Life, what big cat does not live in Africa?
Cheetah?
Wait. Why is none of this clicking today for me?
Yeah, I don't know. This must have been on one of the discussion cards.
I just podcasted The Meaning of Life with Colonel Kickhead.
I love that movie. Again, it's a movie I love. And
just guess a big cat.
There's a famous line in it. You've got Michael Palin and Eric Idle, and they come out from the brushes, and it's during the Zulu War, and the other Eric Idle character's had his leg removed.
Oh, yeah, right.
And they come and question him, and what are they dressed as?
I don't remember.
Are they dressed as tigers, aren't they?
Is it tigers?
Yes!
It is tigers. Okay, yeah. Brian's right. Brian wins.
Just bring it home. Bring it home. There we go.
Big fat loss for me.
You brought it home, Brian. You've won.
Yeah, you're the winner.
Winner.
Good job, Brian. You're the winner.
Wow. And dinner.
Good job. So, listen, if you could not, you listened to this today and you went, man, I sure could go for more Gidget in my life. Then you do this show you keep mentioning, and you should tell people about it so they know where to find it. So where can they find your show?
Okay, I'll get it through quickly, even though you've got no Wendy today. Hi, Wendy, by the way. I met you in Vegas. You're a sweetheart. Okay. All right, so we just released tonight our top 10 Kick-Ass 80s female characters, because it was National Women's Month in March.
Yeah.
Last month. Yeah, March. Okay. You can find me at Gidget, G-I-D-G-I-T, Von LaRue, and just type in the Retro Cinema Podcast. We're on every listening platform. You can go bananas. We've done over 200 80s movies, so go nuts. And I'm just about to release my Gidget's Fab Flicks podcast, which is my own podcast, and I'm interviewing Ian Nathan, and we're talking about Michael Mann's Heat and also LA Confidential. Ooh. And also go and check out the Meaning of Life podcast with Colonel Kickhead as well. That was super fun. Yeah. So do you want me to counsel people now?
No, it turns out I don't, but I do. We are going to miss you horribly. 30 days, everybody. 30 days till the next time Hurricane Gidget comes through this part of the world.
Thanks, Gidget, boys. You did well. Brian won.
Bye. Okay. Well, we did it. We did it again. That was terrible. I did terrible. I was awful.
Yeah, I would have thought...
every question she gave me, I didn't know, and almost every question you got, I would have known.
Right. It helps when she doesn't get... When she gives you questions on movies you haven't seen. You do need to fix that, though. I mean, I think the Hangover is worth seeing.
Should I see the first
Bradley
one and
Cooper
just skip...
Bradley Cooper is funny. Zach Galifianakis is funny. Ed Helms. I mean, it's just
skip
a great...
Skip the sequels or what? What do I do there? Do I just not...
Skip two, but again, I thought three... was a lot funnier than two, and they go back to Vegas. Basically, they go to Bangkok for the second one, and it just was more. I don't know. It wasn't as funny as the first one.
Yeah, I heard that a lot when it was out, and I remember thinking, "Oh, this sounds like the Ocean's movies." Everyone sees
kind of
says,
is very
11
much
and
like
13, but 12
yeah.
is bad. So one right. of those things. All right.
Start with one and see what you think.
We'll see what I think. That's going to do it for the show. We didn't get a chance to mention it, but you've got Coverville today. Well, you want to tell people what that's about? What's going on?
Yeah. So Ronnie Lane would have turned 75 today. Ronnie Lane was founder of the band The Small Faces, and then Steve Marriott left the band, and then they renamed themselves to The Faces because he was really short. A true story. And
wow.
But he would have been 75. He passed away actually here in Denver several years ago, or in Colorado, I guess, Telluride. Mm. But his music lives on, The Faces, The Small Faces, and stuff that is that he did for his solo career. You're going to get a lot of awesome, awesome music today on Coverville. Covers by folks like, I want to mention, like Gretchen Wilson, Della Mitri. When was the last time you heard Della Mitri?
Probably you on this show, because I don't ever hear about Della Mitri.
Oh, you know Della Mitri. Quiet Riot and Star Sailor, just to name a few. Coming up today, 1 p.m. Mountain Time, twitch.tv/Coverville. Watch it live. Coverville.
Nice.
Is the show.
Quick note, I'll be wrapping up the Gotta Get Mendoza mini storyline and Fred and Can this week. Today, in fact. So when I get back from the dentist, that'll get posted. If you're not caught up on what has been going on there, check it out at fredandcan.com and enjoy a little web comicry to brighten your day. Reminder, we are at patreon.com/TMS. We need your support. It's the first of the month. That means brand new month, brand new opportunity to show love to your favorite morning show. So do it. patreon.com/TMS, which includes, by the way, a play date tomorrow at 3 p.m. Mountain Time, half hour earlier than we usually do p.m. It'll be at 3 p.m. Mountain Time at frogpants.tv. That'll take you straight to the Twitch channel, and we're going to be playing games. Between now and then, Brian and I will have off-air conversation about what we're playing and when, but we'll have that all worked out for our play date tomorrow, so be here and play with us, okay? Okay.
So we don't have to play with ourselves.
That's right.
Maybe we'll put up a straw poll or something. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll come up with something. We just need to please all the Among Us lovers and haters and the Jackbox lovers and haters. So
exactly.
We'll find a middle ground, everybody. I'm sure we can do it. Frogpants.com/TMS for everything else. Sign up for the Frogpants newsletter at frogpants.club and email us your thoughts, feelings, and comments to themorningstream@gmail.com. That's themorningstream@gmail.com. Hey, Brian, why don't you play a single solitary song to go out on today?
A single solitary song. Well, one of the biggest hits for Faces was a song that got covered by just about everyone. Got covered by Counting Crows, got covered for the tribute to Wes Anderson movies. And then it got recovered by Ronnie Wood and Jules Holland. Hmm. This one was included on the Small World Big Band Volume 3 Friends album from 2003. Here is the song Ooh La La, which you probably know from the line, I wish I knew then what I know now. Here is Ooh La La.
All right. See you guys tomorrow. And then, of course, Monday for a whole new TMS. See you then.
Thought he was a bitter man. He spoke of women's ways. The trap you, then the use you, before you even know. The love is blind and you're far too kind. Don't ever let it show. I wish that I knew what I know now. When I was younger, I wish flesh and wounds are gray. Come on strong, and it ain't too long for to make you feel a man. But love is blind, and you soon will find you're just a boy again. Wish that I knew why I know now. When I was younger, wish that I knew why I know now. When I was stronger. When you want her lips, you get her cheek, makes you wonder where you are. When you want some more, then she's fast asleep, leaves you twinkling with a star. Poor young grandson, there's nothing I can say. You'll have to learn just like me, and that's the hardest way. Ooh la la.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Well, the internet has something for that. Actually, a couple of somethings.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.